You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Hey, this is Nomar Slevic, host of the I Want to Believe podcast, and you're listening to the Ghosts in the Valley podcast.
Hello, and welcome to Ghosts in the Valley podcast. I'm your host, Al Cooley. Today I have a short episode. It's on closing out a session. Whether that session be in a Ouija board or a seance or any other way you're trying to connect to a spirit, and the dangers of not closing out that session. It is my understanding that if you don't say goodbye after a Ouija board session, any spirit that has been summoned or crossed over the Ouija board, you know, the portal, it will either not or cannot cross back to the realm they came from. And that's really important. If the spirits or demons not crossing back to the realm, that can actually be a very scary and dangerous thing for everyone involved. So for these reasons alone, one must end the communication interaction by saying out loud, goodbye. How can you get rid of an unwanted spirit or ghost in your home? If you don't consider sage a harmful thing unless you're allergic to it, that's one way of getting rid of a spirit. Simply put, you can just tell the spirit to leave and to move on to the next level. You must have the intent as you're saying this, though. Be sincere, not in a hateful manner. Even though it is a evil or demonic spirit, thank it for showing up, but it's not welcome. If it helps you to, say, leave a window open and picture it leaving through your window, then do so. It helps to put a line of salt in every opening of the house and the doors, windows, entryways for at least a day before cleaning it up. If this doesn't work, a spiritual cleanser to do the cleansing, or find a medium that can connect with the spirit and help it move on. Doing a seance is almost the same thing as a Ouija board. Ouija board has on, you know, goodbye. After the goodbye, it's important that everybody involved in that Ouija board session say goodbye. It's also helpful maybe to say a prayer at the end for protection of yourself. Like I said, a seance, you are also welcoming in a spirit, hopefully one that you know, a loved one that has passed. It's kind of important to have everybody in that's involved in the seance that believe in the spirit, but you may have others in the room that are non-believers. As long as they're not disrupting the session as it starts. It's also important that those people also say goodbye and thank it for coming. So it is important to, in a seance, to close out that seance, close out that Ouija board session, and not to bring in unwanted spirits, because sometimes you have more than one spirit that wants to show up and share their existence with you. Just a few helpful hints if you're conducting a Ouija board or a seance. Burn some incense. As I said earlier, a protection prayer never hurts at the end of your session. The Ouija board really, in the beginning, when it was first introduced, went hand in hand with spirituality and Christianity. It wasn't until the movie The Exorcist came out that it was actually labeled a bad thing. But I'm sure there have been experiences before The Exorcist where the Ouija board was being used in a non-friendly manner, so to speak. Some consider the Ouija board as just a game, and people put too much into it. Others believe it's more than a game. I've had Bishop James Long on as a guest in the past. His thinking was, if you're going to pound your chest and say, look at me, and you're going to torment and be the badass in the room with a evil spirit. The evil spirit comes and it'll attack you at your most vulnerable time. It may be a week later, maybe a year later, 5 years later, but it will attack. I find it's very important to take the Ouija board seriously if you are going to use it. Close out the session. Close out the session in a seance. Don't antagonize the spirit. The person conducting the seance, the medium, should know what they're doing before they do it, for all involved. Before I close out today's show, I want to share a short story that a previous guest has sent me, Toni Shapiro. She's going to be on the show in a couple more weeks, and I had to share this. I promised her I wouldn't read the whole thing. I want her to talk about it. But it is bone-chilling. Here's her story. It's called My Malevolent Physical Attack. Ever since I was a tiny girl, I've had paranormal encounters. In 2002, I moved from California to Louisiana. I received a call from my son. I have some bad news, Mom. My heart sank because I knew instantly that my mother had died. But I had decided that I wanted a house of my own. I certainly didn't want to live in the house where my mother died, and I wanted a place of my own. I needed it. I was just about to give up looking for a home, and I got a call that there was a house just listed near the area where we were traveling, and immediately my spirits lifted, and I couldn't wait to see this house. The house was small, less than 1,000 square feet, but was reasonably priced. The fenced-in yard was huge, a quarter acre, plenty of room for my dog to enjoy. The neighborhood seemed quiet. The bonuses were a nearby park, library, grocery shopping, and several churches, all within walking distance if desired. The downside was that the house had been built in 1932, a bit older than what I would have preferred. Once we arrived, I couldn't deny that I was charmed by its exterior appearance. It was in immaculate condition, far nicer than I had imagined. I always felt that I had reliable intuition when it came to paranormal encounters and supernatural occurrences, but I didn't spend much time in the original bedroom of this house. I didn't realize that something malevolent was brewing within the walls of that bedroom, just waiting for its opportunity to strike. Whatever this thing was able to conceal its true nature until the moment I was most vulnerable. Its power was concentrated in just that single bedroom. I was thrilled for the long-awaited day to finally arrive so I could move into my own house. I couldn't be happier with my decision of going forward and buying this house. Several years passed without a single paranormal encounter. All was at peace. I made friends with a few of the neighbors. It wasn't until my sixth year in that house I had an urge to set up a chaise lounge next to my drafting desk in the original bedroom for a night of adventurous sleeping with Bonnie, my dog, near the window. I thought we'd like the experience of a change for the evening just for fun. It turned out that unfortunate decision had opened up a terrifying other world for both of us, and not the kind we'd ever want to visit again. At some point during the night, I was literally yanked off the lounge without touching the floor, then tossed around like a weightless rag doll. But not a word was spoken other than my own voice screaming help and my dog yelping. Whatever was attacking me had gotten to her also. This thing, for lack of better description, felt like it had the power and strength of at least 10 men, and it was just getting started. we were prevented from leaving a room that didn't even have a locked door. Whatever the evil force that had penetrated my room, it also had the authority to hold us captive in it. I was overpowered once again, pulled away from the door, literally thrown into the bathroom. My body connected with a ceramic towel holder that was on the wall, directly against my ribs. I lost my air, and the pain that surged through my body was too much to bear. I was given a moment to catch my breath before the brutality proceeded. I don't know how to describe this, but swooshed out of the bathroom and dragged across the floor and violently tossed headfirst into the narrow closet, then pulled out by my ankles. I was grateful to be alive. I waited with a pounding heart, afraid to move, but once I felt a sensation of calm, I proceeded to rise on wobbly legs, barely able to stand. I likely suffered a concussion. After the attack, it took every ounce of courage that I had to muster up to enter that room again. But then one day, I got to chatting with my neighbor lady who lived across the street from me. She had lived in the neighborhood for quite a bit longer than me. She knew some of the people who came and went from my house over the years, and she proceeded to share these activities with me. She provided some of the details about how she and this group of individuals engaged in unsavory activities at my house that included several ritualistic practices, orgies, seances, and whatever else they decided to try. Thankfully, I have never encountered another violent attack since then, and I pray that I never will again. I sold the house in 2017. To my knowledge, nothing paranormal has ever occurred with the current owners. When Tony Shapiro comes back on my show, she will talk about this attack better than I just read it. I didn't go into the full reading, but that was the heart of it. And it didn't stop there. What I found very strange is she sent me that 8-page story a couple months ago. A few nights ago, I had a dream. Woke me up in the middle of the night about 3 a.m. And it was about an old house built in the 1930s. And in this house was a malevolent spirit that was very, very wicked and tossing around this lady and her dog. In the corner was a lady crying. And I came to the conclusion that there was a party going on in that house years before, and a Ouija board was involved. The session was not closed out, and this poor lady and her dog were suffering the consequences of this spirit that was brought into the house by some young teenagers. And since then, the activities continued because, like I said, the session of the Ouija board was not closed. Could be or could not be true because it was a dream of mine. I went back a couple of days later and I was reading this story from Tony. And OMG, I mean, what my dream was about was the story she sent me. I haven't read the story yet. And after reading the story, I contacted her and I said, you know, I want you back on my show. I want you to explain your story that you sent me. Because there was a connection there. She will be back on in a couple weeks to talk about her story. She's a very interesting guest. Can't wait to have her back on. She was just on, but I need to have her back on because of my dream and because of the story she sent me. So stay tuned for that. Her name is Tony Shapiro. I'm your host, Al Cooley. I'll be back in 2 weeks on Ghost in the Valley podcast.